Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Welcome to Girls with Goals in 2025. I'm so excited to have a microphone in front of my face right now and be back chatting with you guys. We're so excited to be sitting down and talking with you guys and this new year with kind of a reflection on the past year before we jump into all of the excitement that is a new year, that is 2025, our plans for the year ahead, are everything that's known and unknown for the year ahead, everything we want to motivate you guys to do for the year ahead. But before we do that, we want to look back at all of the things that 2024 taught us, and specifically like the lessons that we learned that we didn't think we'd need to, those things that just kind of came out through experiencing the year, not necessarily through forced growth or forced lessons, but just, you know, the way we talk about that natural evolution of life, about how sometimes as life moves, there's this natural evolution and things that you learn and things that you do that just come about, even when it is just focusing on yourself and doing your day to day, because time goes on and things happen. And so there's a lot of things that I know I experienced and learned in 2024 that I wasn't even expecting to or making an effort to. And I'm sure it's the same for Anne Catherine as well.
Yeah, I like this take on it. I mean, if you guys have been listening to the show for a while, I'm sure you know that I don't like this energy of like, I always have a hard
maybe
time
forced growth.
Yeah, I always have a hard time putting it into words, but I'm assuming if you're listening that you probably scroll sometimes and see the like wellness culture lifestyle, which I eat that shit up. Eat it up.
Oh yeah, it's fun.
Organization, the like ASMR organization. I'm sat watching the whole thing. Yes, my point being, I don't love the whole push of like, you have to be doing more. And I think social media breeds that. Especially not saying that it's not just like a social phenomenon that people feel like they have to be, you know, always seeking some sort of improvement actively or have some very big specific goal in mind at all times. But I do think social media really forces that home because you see all these videos of people achieving their goal, which is so sick and motivating to see. But you also see them, people oftentimes post videos of like, yeah, I achieved this and this is my progress. And it's one video. So you see both the start and the completion. You don't actually see how long it takes and you're not on that journey. Mm-hmm. So you think you have to complete it immediately. You think you have to be constantly like fulfilling these major milestones and also having these major milestones in your head, which is so not true. You should be spending the majority of your life enjoying it, not like holding yourself back from the present moment because you're fighting for some future milestone.
Yeah.
So I like this kind of take on lessons that we didn't maybe seek out, because most of life you learn is not things you sought out, because if you're seeking something out, you probably already know the lesson at the end of the day.
Yeah, the way this concept kind of comes to be is I honestly feel like a lot of things I am appreciating and thinking about in my life right now are things that 4 years ago I hoped for or had no idea would be my reality. And it's kind of this strange concept that like time on the day to day can feel like, you know, it goes so slowly and that nothing's happening and nothing's changing. But, you know, then you look back and you're like, oh, 4 years ago when I started college, or 4 years ago when I lived here and when I was friends with that person, like I feel like such a different person than I am right now. And I think this point in my life is one where like I feel so different from the person I was a few years ago, and feel like especially just in this last year I've grown a lot of things have clicked into place for me, especially personally and in friendships. And so one of the big things that I have learned this year is that like good things really do take time, and you always will come out on the other side of something and realize why that happened and that like things were moving forward, even though things can be like really uncomfortable and not make sense in the moment. A lot of things, and especially the people in my life that I'm really grateful for right now, just made me realize that, like, I would not have found those people, I would not have found those things if I didn't have to lose others in my life. Because I would say in the past 4 or 5 years or so, like, I've had a decent amount of friendship breakups, a decent amount of, like, kind of feeling alone at different times. I know, even just being home for the holidays and back in my hometown, I'm like, I'm actually in a place now where I can really enjoy my hometown. And in Catherine and I have found a lot of new friends in our hometown and different ways to enjoy it. Whereas I know that, you know, coming home from college 3 or 4 years ago was absolutely horrible. I didn't want to be here. I didn't like the environment. It brought back too many, like, negative memories that I feel like have now been replaced by space and time, but also a lot of good memories. And so I'm kind of in a place in my life right now where I'm recognizing that, wow, like, this peace that I have being home, this peace that I have about, like, who I am and myself, and the confidence that I've built with myself, and all of the great friendships that I have right now, they wouldn't have happened without those periods of, like, having to grow out of places that I didn't belong, having to, like, let friends go who were not, you know, respectful of me or nice to me or aligned with me to be able to get closer with the people who were actually right. And none of that happens overnight, but I sent a message, or like around Thanksgiving or something, to my friend group, and I'm like, wow, I was just thinking about how crazy it is that just a couple years ago, like, I barely knew you guys and we were not close, and now I don't even remember a time when you weren't my best friends. And so all of that has really taught me this year that there is always a reason for things, even if you don't see it in the moment, but you do always get to look back on things, whether it's 1, 2, 5, 10 years later, and recognize that, like, your uncomfort in outgrowing something and the kind of messiness and negativity that might feel in the moment, like, it all comes out in the end.
I will say, like, I forget your exact words before, but you'll always get through something. Time always moves on. Nothing that is happening right now is static, so it will change. If your friend group is 6 people right now, it could be 4 people in 2 years, and it could be 8 people in another 2 years, and then it could go back down to 6, and then whatever. So even if it does seem so good right now, it doesn't mean it's not going to get better or stay good, but it will continue to change. The only thing constant is, like, yourself in that situation. So as long as you enjoy yourself moving through these phases, that makes a situation. Having bad periods of, like, friendship and social life before, that's not a dig on other people, because you don't know what they're dealing with or how they've changed now. Like, you can still remember that negative experience and not like that negative experience, but it's not like you shouldn't be carrying that with you anymore. You know
what
I mean?
That's a huge lesson too, actually, that not holding grudges sets yourself free from the negativity, because it's you holding a grudge or holding on to a past experience, it's not affecting that person. They don't feel that in your head or your mind or your body or wherever you feel that, like, holding that grudge.
They also, I'm sure, had a different experience of the situation. They may have also not enjoyed the friend group or the situation. Mm-hmm. So just move on and enjoy where you're at now, even if it is, like, a negative thing. Find enjoyment in, like, more solitude and more, like, monotony of life, because that is enjoyable sometimes. That, like, really gets shit done and, like, engraves habits into your lifestyle.
Something that I am learning in that sense as well this year is what boundaries actually are and what it means to hold boundaries. Boundaries is such a buzzword. Like, oh, you have to have boundaries. You have to, like, stay true to your boundaries. It feels like it's this word that has almost, like, popped up and been so, like, shouted from the rooftops in the past couple of years that it almost seems, like, kind of fake. Like, oh, but, like, what is a boundary? Because it's not, like, an actual physical thing. It is kind of, like, this mental thing. But what I have learned a little bit this year is that to have independence and to do what you want to do and make yourself happy, you do need to establish some boundaries, because it would be really easy to spread yourself thin in life trying to always think about, like, what other people want and what other people want from you or how other people are perceiving you. And in doing that so much, you might lose sight of what it actually is that you want and what you want to do and what you want your life to be like. And so to be able to maintain that independence and considering yourself as much as you may be considering others, whether it's, you know, other people's wants or just other people's perceptions, you do need to have some boundaries. This came about for me a lot when I did my study abroad in Greece this past summer, because I did just a month of classes in Greece. It was about 5 weeks this past summer. And I decided going into it, I was like, look, I'm already in a 5-year college program and I've done 4 years of college already. I know I'm going to be older.
I'm done here.
I know I'm going to be older than everybody else who is studying abroad here. It also is not an entire semester of my school, an entire semester of my life. It truly is 5 weeks. And the way that I envisioned the experience for myself going into it was to be like a pretty independent experience, because I had never solo traveled completely on my own before. And Catherine and I had done a lot of travel together, but I had never embarked on a journey in a new place completely by myself. And that is how I envisioned taking those 5 weeks, because I was like, look, of course I'm going to meet people, but I'm not there for 4 months of a semester where like I want to establish a routine with other people and all of that. Like, I kind of feel like 5 weeks is just enough to experience a little bit of life for yourself and then get out of there. So that was my vision for it. But I found it a lot more uncomfortable to like maintain my independence than I thought, just for the sake of kind of feeling like I had to explain that to people. And
mind you, it was a bit uncomfortable. And will never see again and have no impact on your life.
I actually did meet like a group of people there that I did really like, and I ended up taking a trip with a group. But for the most
part. Do you speak to any of them anymore?
Yeah, shout out.
Really?
Yeah, Jamie and I are friends on Strava. Ileana was actually a listener of the podcast beforehand, and so we're still like in touch on social media at least.
She was the one I met on the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so like, of course, I did meet people and there's some great people. But for the most part, like, I wanted it to be an independent time. I waived the university housing and just got a small like apartment in the middle of the city, like an Airbnb by myself. And I really, really wanted to embrace that. Like, I wanted to walk around the city. I wanted to do some solo traveling, have a daily routine, go on some runs by the water. Wasn't really that interested in like going super hard with nightlife or anything this summer. And so I did get uncomfortable and more uncomfortable than I thought when I was like turning down invitations to go out with like all of the other classmates, or when I wasn't super involved in like the day trips, or when I wasn't living in the dorms. And so therefore I didn't know all of the other people and I couldn't like keep up with the stories that other people were telling and things like that. There were a few times where I had people like, a girl in my class kind of questioned me like, what do you do when you're not with us? Like, I feel like you aren't really doing anything. And then it made me feel really uncomfortable because I was like, I don't want to have to explain that I just want.
I'm 21 and unfortunately
that,
still in
that
college.
That I just like, want to do my own alone. Thing right now. And so that was kind of eye-opening where I was like, damn, it kind of can be harder sometimes to stick to that boundary and stick to what you envisioned and what you wanted to do than to just kind of like go with, you know, the group agenda and what is more comfortable. So that definitely pushed me outside of my comfort zone a little bit, but it taught me a lot because I would have been disappointed in myself if I didn't have that independent solo travel. And I did find a balance of it. Like I said, like there were some people that I hung out with and that I liked and that I'm still in touch with, but for the most part, I was able to fulfill that independent period of time. And it did push me out of my comfort zone. Towards the end, I was like, okay, I'm getting a little bit like static in my routine. I'm going to some of the same places, blah, blah. So like I pushed myself to go sit down at restaurants outdoors and like eat by myself sometimes, whether it was with a book or whether I like FaceTimed my mom or a friend from home just to like, you know, not feel like I was just sitting there completely alone, because it was kind of uncomfortable. And so sitting down, you know, at coffee shops by myself to even get a drink by myself once, like after I did exams, I was like, I'm going to get myself an Aperol spritz and watch the sunset by the water by myself. And so doing some of those things was so cool for me and pushed me out of my comfort zone. And so I think that really taught me the need to set your values and intentions first and then try to stick with that. And that's how you can create boundaries versus just like, I didn't really know what boundaries meant too much before.
So essentially, choosing to do the things that you enjoy, whether it be with the group or without the group, over just conforming when it's something you don't enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the lesson. And this applies to things other than going to a restaurant alone.
Yeah, of course.
Or reading a book in public alone.
Hey. Yeah, but truly it is. I think it taught me that boundaries come, one, from setting your values and intentions first and sticking to that. And then also, on the other hand, can come from experiencing something and deciding that you won't accept it again. But I do think that the easier way to boundaries is to kind of have that strength and personal vision and mission from the beginning rather than experiencing something and then it's kind of harder to set a boundary like with a person or with a place or an experience if you're already in it and then trying to put up a boundary. So to kind of try to set boundaries from the get-go is something that I took from that. I also felt, or maybe am feeling right now, a little bit of life burnout this year. Maybe burnout is not the total word, but like a little bit of confusion, a little bit of like maybe losing steam just because I'm trying to decide my direction in the sense that, you know, I feel like I've been working hard at life for a long time now. And I was always so sure when I was younger about what my life should look like. But it's a little bit easier to be a dreamer when you're younger and when you're not in the place where that has to like actualize right now. I remember it used to be so fun for Catherine and I, like when we were 19 when we first started the podcast and when we would like be at creator events or meet people and tell them what we do, to be able to like say that and be like, yeah, and we're 19, like that was like so fire. That like felt like such a flex. But now I'm like, okay, now I'm 22. Now the expectation is that I'm working. You know, like maybe I'm like not so ahead of the curve anymore. It kind of made me think of the Taylor Swift lyrics, which don't gag at me and Catherine for quoting Taylor Swift.
No, I already read this in the notes. I'm mentally prepared.
Okay. But you know,
by the way, Taylor Swift wasn't playing for days. Carolyn got a record player and the only record she has, Taylor Swift. And it sounds like from the other room, it sounds like.
That's not true. I also have Sabrina Carpenter, Halsey.
When did you get a Halsey one? I like Halsey.
Yeah, do you know her most recent album? You would like it. I'll bring the record player downstairs and we can listen to it later. It's a good album.
Oh, goody.
It's a great album. Yeah, no, I've got multiple. I did a Depop search and bought them secondhand off of people because records are expensive.
Oh, genius.
But, okay, so this is like a very literal lyric because I'm 22 and because I started kind of pursuing social media and like kind of pursuing my dreams a bit at 18. But the lyric that is where she's like, I was so ahead of the curve that the curve became a sphere. How can someone know everything at 18 but nothing at 22? I'm like, oh, that's a little bit too real at 22 right now, because when you're 18, it's so much easier to feel like anything that you do, like you have this safety net of like, yeah, but I'm young enough that like this doesn't have to succeed, or this doesn't have to be, which I guess you kind of have at any point, but it's like you feel kind of young.
You know about 10% of what's going on in life.
Yeah, like you haven't totally experienced everything or don't have all of the pressures and expectations. And then I think the older that you get, the more that, you know, success and work and life experience is expected of you. And so I'm kind of starting to have this feeling like, you know, God forbid I peaked at 18, which I know I didn't, but it's this weird shift in perspective of like, okay, if I want to stay ahead of the curve for any of like, I'm sure everyone listening is kind of like overachiever in some sense of their life and understands what I'm talking about here. It's like, where do you go from here? Of course, there's going to be this sense of like a little bit of life burnout of, you know, where do you go from here when you've been kind of already ahead or working that hard? But I know that now is, you know, obviously not the time to sink back into my comfort zone, because I didn't come this far to only come this far. And so that's kind of the lesson that I've been telling myself is like, it would be.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
So comfortable to, you know, write out your dreams until the point where, like,
there's a bit more pressure for it to support you and be your reality. But that's not the time to stop. That's like the biggest time to bet on yourself. And so that is a kind of a lesson I'm trying to embrace at the end of 2024 and really bring with me into whatever uncertainty or next chapters and opportunities come my way in 2025. Is that like, hey, I didn't work on myself, build this confidence, build out my life to only come this far. I've worked this hard for it to be a stepping stone to what's next, not for me to stay right here.
Lesson three, Caroline has deemed there is no right or wrong. Personally, I have deemed it we're just doing shit because
that's the difference between our personalities.
It does not need to be sappy. Like,
yeah, it's true. We're just doing shit.
Truly, we're just doing shit. Like, there's no right or wrong or pathway. Like, you're just collecting activities your entire life. Like,
I think
of course they all build on each other, and you have like to have some consistency in your life, or else you're never gonna like have a place to live and food on the table. But
yeah, I was gonna say, I think that the way you said that is kind of like why the balance of us doing this podcast together, like as twins, works, because I think I try to put things into like bigger words and I can go on and talk forever sometimes, and you help kind of level it down sometimes with the like,
because
it doesn't all have to be that deep, like we're just doing shit.
No, that's kind of how deep.
That's a little bit how Catherine and I are in real life too, which is funny.
Unless it comes to cleaning things or driving,
then Catherine takes it far more seriously than I do.
The other day, I think, so we're, it's Thanksgiving right now when we're home. The other day, walked downstairs, there was a tub of protein powder, some messy bowl, and like some other,
maybe like oats and a banana, similar, or something
similar
like
ingredients
that.
And I go, oh my god, Caroline's been here. And my mom was there, was in the kitchen. She goes, that is so Caroline. Like, and I wasn't even talking about the mess. I was talking about the fact that it was protein powder in a messy bowl, because that's truly how you know Caroline has been in the vicinity.
I've like baked something, like made
in
some
the
sort
last
of oats
30 minutes
or protein balls or something.
I swear to god, like clockwork, every 30 minutes she's making something in the kitchen. It's 4 a.m. I'm like, oh, why is there a light on? Caroline getting a snack.
Sometimes I need a bowl of cereal.
And then my mom goes, oh, it's just so great that you don't see those kinds of things, like messes, you just don't even see them.
Me. Yeah, it's the funniest thing. We'll be like walking, or they'll be talking about like a house in the neighborhood or something, and they're like, you know that one with like the yellow door and the white, like you've passed it a million times. I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen that in my life. Meanwhile, I go on like a walk or a run around the neighborhood almost every day.
I've also started playing this fun game where if we're driving somewhere, I know all the car
Catherine's
models,
a big car girl,
but I also drive. At, like, out of us, I am the driver. I also like being observant. It's like a puzzle to me. And so I'm like, just by the shape of the lights, I can be like, oh, that's a car. Because if you're driving on a highway, obviously you see all the types of cars and you just figure it out. But the other day we were driving and we were playing this game where I'm like, all right, what's that one? It is a Chevrolet Silverado. For those of you who don't know, a big old pickup truck.
What did I do?
Caroline says,
what did I do?
Oh, Chevy Malibu, which
I just saw Chevy and said the first like model name that I recognize.
A sedan, like a little normal car, like what you think of when you think car. Very different, opposing even vehicles. She said it so confidently too, as if a Chevy Malibu was a pickup truck.
Mm. So along those lines, where I say there is no right or wrong, and Catherine says we're just doing shit. So take that one and roll with it, AC.
Like, there is no right or wrong. But if you say, oh, there is no right or wrong, then you're still in this, like, path of
Everything feels like a chore
and a task and stuff to do. Whereas if you say you're just doing shit, like, it takes it down so much that it becomes comfortable and enjoyable. Whereas to me, thinking, oh, there is no right or wrong, like, don't worry, there's no right or wrong.
It still feels like, okay, there's a choice and there's consequences no matter what, even if it's not right or wrong.
Yeah, you haven't, you really haven't left that energy. It's just people like making things up. Which everyone's making things up, but people are still like trying to repackage stuff without losing the whole, like, I think a lot of people are afraid to not have things that they're working towards or have things like very black and white.
Or maybe it is even just like a sense of control over your choices in your life, because
I was thinking kind of that having so much choice in the world is overwhelming. Something that's been helping me with that recently is the idea that there is no right or wrong. But I actually really like your point that that still makes it seem like a choice rather than just kind of going with the flow. And, you know, I think everyone's minds works in different ways. You may pick up on either of those and like either concept. But it is true that maybe to even bring it down another level of getting rid of like the morality of the choice and the right or wrong pathway. It's like
even you're just doing it. Even yeah. saying, oh, there's no right or wrong. You're going to be successful either way. You're going to figure out the path. Like that still puts so much pressure on you. And makes things so intense when really nothing, not many things in this world are as intense as people make them out to be. 100% there are scenarios that are intense.
Yeah.
Not talking about those. Talking about the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
Not that deep.
Really. I think I felt like I was faced with a lot more choices this year than before, even down to the sense of like, I only had one semester left of school. Do I do it in the fall and then graduate in the winter, or do I do it in spring and then graduate in the spring? Our lease was up on our apartment, so who do I live with and where do I live? But in Kaplan, actually had like a worse choice with that because, or maybe a worse time with
that.
Oh,
I made it worse for myself. I know I can't live with my friends.
She was trying to find somewhere to live alone, and that made it a lot harder, whereas I just, you know, scooted in with my friends, so I didn't actually have too difficult of a choice there. Or, you know, hey, I decided I'm going to graduate in the spring, so I want to do some work to fill my time. Well, like, will I get this internship, or will I find another job? And I was turned down from the first thing I applied to, and then, you know, found some other opportunities for myself. But it can kind of be overwhelming when you think about how where you live, where you go to school, where you work, who you live with, all of these choices, like they do end up having a snowball effect to put you down a potentially different path of life, especially those bigger things about like where you live and where you go to school and that.
Yeah, and but that, once you're that's in the it, kind you're of like, thing, oh, yeah. I made the right choice, but yes. really it was just a choice that where it was a good choice for you. But if you were choosing between two, then I'm sure you had two good choices
exactly.
for you and you made the most of it. And then it was great.
Yeah. So I guess for me to relieve that pressure, it's like you have to believe that there is no actual right or wrong, and that no matter where you go, you will find your way. No matter where you go, you will look and be like, oh, this worked out. This was the right choice. Or it's not, and you change your mind, and that's life, and that's okay too. So there could be many good paths for you. And it's that sense of trying to trust like that what is meant for you will find you no matter what, and taking the pressure off always trying to make that perfect choice because it's impossible. My lesson that I wanted to share here is that your mind is a lot stronger than your body and is usually the driving force. And this is something that stood out to
what? Do you hear that?
Oh my God, is that something we can start doing?
Yeah, we have all the buttons on our little thing. Literally, this is applause, I think. Oh, shit.
Oh my God, we need to start using sound effects. Like, make it like iCarly.
I know, I was playing with them earlier.
Oh my gosh, Kevin, I had no idea we could do this. Guys, actually
we should
also
mean it. New era of Girls with Goals is like, we're going to have sound effects. And that is how I feel about that.
And this is something that stood out to me more this year than other years because I have been, you know, consistently working out for years now. But I do feel like I had found myself at somewhat of a plateau for the past year, maybe even 2 years. And if you have been listening to the podcast and you've been following along on social media, you know that I've really stepped up my running this year and tapped into it. That is something that took such a mental flip for me to be able to do, and that's because I've had for the past few years this kind of roadblock with running. I got pretty good at running my like senior year of high school, right after that really fast, and then you know, as I kind of started building strength, as I was like kind of recovering from more disordered mindsets around fitness and food and stuff, I kind of dropped running altogether. And so it's something that I had to relearn and refind like my love for and motivation for and all of that. And so for the past few years, I've been a very like on and off mediocre runner. And I've always felt like, ugh, I'm not as good as I used to be. Like, this is so demotivating. And I also found that in times when like my mind felt heavy with like stress or anxiety, it was really hard for me to run. Like, it made my body feel kind of heavy too. And so my mind was really controlling like my ability to run and run well for a long time. And so I decided that I really wanted to push past that this year and signed up for a half marathon pretty far out from, like, I had it in my mind pretty far out from when I, like, kind of started picking up running again, because I wanted to look at that as, like, a North Star of, like, hey, I'm running consistently again, like, for a reason, because I want to be able to do this and do it well and prove it to myself. And I was able to do that and really stick with running, like, 3+ times a week, working through some injuries for this entire past year. Of course, some people are born with a much more intrinsic ability. Lucky them, whether that's for, like, running or any sport or anything. You know, some people are just, like, naturally really strong, naturally really fast. Like, they've never done a sport in their life, and then they get recruited for that sport just because, like, they are strong physically.
Good for them.
I know. Good for them. But I do truly believe that you can accomplish any physical challenge that you set your mind to. Obviously, you know, humanly possible and realistic for your body. If you train for it and genuinely believe that you can do it. Because I tested that with my half marathon this year. I set, like, somewhat of an ambitious goal for myself to try to hold an 8:30 pace for the half marathon, in a sense where I was like, that is something that, like, would make me really proud and feel like I did that to, like, my best physical ability right now if I can train up to do that. And, like, I pretty much did that. The last 3 miles kind of killed me and dropped my average below that, but the first 10 miles I really held it. I worked through some injuries to get there. Like, I kept my mind on the goal and in believing that I could do it, even when I had some, like, really bad runs and bad training sessions that really made me not think that that was ever going to be possible. And so it showed me that, you know, your mind really is stronger than your body, and you can do more than you think you're capable of doing. And I want to push that a lot further in 2025, whether it's with strength, whether it's with running a faster half marathon or running a marathon. Who knows where exactly that will take me, but I just want to, like, take that lesson with me into 2025 and always remember that, you know, you're physically capable of a lot more than you think you are. It's very mental.
So the next lesson is that it's okay to not have everything figured out. In my words, because we have these all on notes just so we can remember the exact phrasing of them, and I've been adding, like, parentheses with my translation of it. So I said don't waste time figuring it out, because I think that's really important. With this concept of, you know, understand that you don't have to have everything figured out. That's not to say, like, just stand still and do nothing. If you are trying to figure something out, you know, you can trust that the right answer will come, or, you know, you can step back for a minute. Don't waste your energy trying to figure it out is what I'm trying to say. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your time, because something better could come along, something that helps you figure it out, something that puts your mind at ease, whatever it may be. Like we said in the beginning, time's obviously not stopping. Like, life doesn't really stop. You just move through it and do different things with your time as life goes on. You do different shit with your life as life goes on. So you don't have to figure it all out right now. And if you're faced with a choice or faced with, like, maybe a potential lifestyle change or big career change or something like that, and you have a question about it, one, always go with your gut. Like, think rationally about the details, but honestly, trust your gut in those situations and just make a choice. Just choose something and stick with it and try and make the most of it. If it a year or two goes by and it's not for you, then you can move on and change it. But don't waste your time trying to figure something out, because that only hurts you.
My natural instinct is, like, to put something in a box and have it completely figured out and, like, organized and have an answer. And there's a lot of things in my life right now that are giving me a lot of uncertainty, both with having one more semester of school and then graduating. So I'm thinking about, well, what exactly do I want to do after graduation? Where exactly do I want to live? They're, like, all
stressing everyone out.
It's stressing me out. There's these bigger questions, and also a breakup recently that is just, you know, obviously that brings with a lot of questions and transitions. And so there's all these things that are making me feel, like, kind of uncertain about where am I supposed to be right now, and what is my next step in life supposed to be right now? And those are impossible questions to answer. And I know that by kind of trying to fix things, trying to get answers, trying to make decisions right now. Like, it's really not helping me because it's like in Captain said, I'm wasting my time trying to figure it out because it's just adding more stress in my mind to the situation. And ultimately, when I take a step back and I think about like all of the things I know about life, I know that growth happens in uncertainty. And I know that clarity can like only come with time. And I also know that, like we said, there is no right or wrong path. You're going to find your way no matter what. And so I'm trying to learn that life is not about having this perfect plan. And that really it's about being adaptable, being open to the unexpected, because you never know what's going to come next. And if you did try to figure it out right now, you wouldn't be leaving any space for those unexpected things. You wouldn't be leaving any space for like a natural path of life to come about, whether that's with opportunities coming your way or being drawn to a new place or new people. So you need to leave a little bit of space, even though that it can be like uncomfortable to have that uncertainty. A lot of the best things happen when you just leave space for the right things to happen and to naturally follow that. But yeah, if we want to pull a lesson from that one, I would say that this year taught me that sometimes growth comes from, you know, asking the questions, but not always having the answers. Maybe keeping your eyes open to what you're wondering about and what you're looking for, but not trying to define the answer right now.
Right. You can think about it. You can like work through the details. You can, you know, make headway with your plans, but don't waste your time. Don't waste too much of your time stressing out over things or, you know, stressing out about thinking about it. And I mean that not stressing out over the thing, but stressing out over the thing. Because I think that like going in a spiral, going in a loop, because that's a waste of both your time that you could be doing other things that you actually enjoy or just doing nothing.
Doing nothing's okay sometimes. So that's a collection of lessons that we learned in this past year, 2024, without really seeking them. Just the things that maybe came about because we had to learn them or because the experiences and the things that we were going through in life just brought those things out. And so before we dive into 2025, which I'm sure we'll talk a lot about our plans and our goals and some motivation for you guys in the upcoming year in our following episodes in January, we wanted first to reflect back on 2024 because, you know, there's a lot to gain from stepping back and thinking about what you have experienced and everything you have accomplished and everything you have learned before just being on to the next. So thank you all so much for being back with us on Girls with Goals. Thank you so much for listening. Share this episode with a friend if you think that someone would take something from it. This show grows one person at a time. So that, So leave us, you know, a comment on Instagram at Girls with Goals Pod or on our personals at Caroline Kaneen.
And in Catherine Kaneen.
And we love you guys. We appreciate you all being here and being here with us for the past year. Exciting things ahead.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.